4 weeks from tomorrow, the NFL Draft Round 1. We're going to talk a lot about the draft over the next month or so, and one of our favorite guys to talk to about the draft is joining us right now. He is a college football and NFL draft analyst for ESPN, former college football quarterback, worked in the pro scouting department for the New York Jets, and he's been with Scouts, Inc. for the last 7 years. He's been with ESPN, working closely with Todd McShay for most of that time. Kevin Weidel joins us live on the line. Hi, Kevin. How are you tonight?
John, doing great, man. How you doing today, man?
You're doing great. Thanks for coming on. Are you doing a regular thing on ESPNU, did I see? Kind of a run-up to the draft? Did you do one today, as a matter of fact?
Yeah. College football spring blitz. Usually we cover, you know, position a day through April here. It's going to talk about a couple players coming out for the draft, and then we'll talk about the talent coming back, college football next fall. It's a half-an-hour show, quick and easy, and get a lot of info. So that'll be going on through the month of April here.
So you're on there every day. We'll look for that on ESPN. Is it always 4:30 p.m. then?
4:30, yep, that's the scheduled time.
Okay. As I said, Kevin, we're about 4 weeks away from tomorrow, 4 weeks from round one. I read something that you tweeted out a couple of days ago where you said that there's a consensus building among personnel people in the NFL that the pushback of the draft by a couple of weeks this year has drawn this process out too long. Tell us what's going on in inside personnel departments.
Well, you know, I already think it was already too long as it was. From the time the season ends, the bowl season, to the draft was already long enough. So now they pushed it back 2 weeks, and they're going to push it back another week next year, I heard, in the mid-May. And I just think, you know, mistakes can be made in that area. You know, sometimes teams, you know, and scouts can forget about the tape and start looking at pro days and start looking at all-star games and the combine, and that's everything that's what's fresh in your mind. And then you start hearing all the rumors flying around and you read on social media, and you can get distracted. I think it's a lot of times it's a lot of risk for overanalysis. And, you know, that's when you start flip-flopping. And usually when you watch a tape and you watch a player and you get through three game tapes, you have an initial feeling and you've got a gut feeling. Usually your gut feeling is right. So that's what I always try to do. I always try to stick to the tape. And then you check on the guy's character, work ethic to make sure it's clean. And if it all matches up and you get a good vibe from the tape and the background check, then I think you have a pretty strong hold on the guy's grade. So I just think it's, you know, there's a chance with all the time in between to overanalyze and kind of nitpick at players when initially you had it right watching tape. So that's the concern I have.
We're in the pro day season and transitioning into team visits. So what do you think goes on, Kevin, at these pro days and team visits? What are scouts looking for when they bring these players in?
Just how they handle it. You know, the pro days are different. You know, you want to show up, and it's supposed to be your kind of day to showcase what you can do in shorts and a T-shirt. And that's, you know, football's not playing that, obviously. It's like being on the driving range, you know, you look great, and then you get on the first tee and you shank the ball to the right. So, you know, they want to see when the high pressure situation is going on. I think more importantly, the private visits are the most important, because that's when they get to, you know, teams will take quarterback for an example. You know, teams will put them through the throws that they make in their scheme. Can they make it? How's their mobility? They'll put them on the whiteboard, see if they can learn the process, if they have a good grasp on coverages, reads, particularly within their system. And then they get to know him as a person, you know, as a leader, you know, as a guy. Does he have a presence to him when he walks in the room? Does he have a big presence? Does he tilt the room? Those are some of the things they really look for, and they just get to know the player more. Particularly with quarterbacks, I think it's important to learn what makes these guys tick and what, you know, internally they have and bring to the table.
Hey, Kevin, the Bills virtually have players coming in every day now. Today they had tackle Jake Matthews from Texas A&M and linebacker Preston Brown. As fans, as people who follow the draft, what should we read into those visits to One Bills Drive? Does that automatically mean that they are high on the team's draft board?
No, you know, they have some interest. It just depends on where they are. You know, they have a guy targeted, I think, that to fit their system and fit what they do, and they have a certain position for them, and they have a target area. So should he be there? In the round that they have him checked out at the grades, you know, they want to get to know this person. Again, it's bringing guys in. Obviously, there's an interest, and they want to see, you know, what this guy's about. So, you know, you're not just going to bring in a guy that you don't like. I can tell you that. You want to see what these guys are about, and if it's a fit and it's at the right point, you know, and you brought him in for a visit, then you know, it's all checks out, and you turn in the card.
We're live on the line with Kevin Weidel. He is a college football and NFL draft analyst for ESPN. If you have a comment or a question for Kevin about the draft, now's your chance. He'll be with us the next few minutes here. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. And we wanted to get to talking about some of the offensive line prospects, and actually a caller does as well. Mark from New Jersey, you're on the air with Kevin Weidel. Mark, go ahead.
Hi, John. How you doing? Yeah, I wanted to ask him, how big of a variance is there between the Greg Robinson, Jake Matthews, you know, Taylor Lewan, and the next tier, like Morgan Moses and Antonio Richardson? Also, I believe the last time he was on, I asked him about Cody Latimer, and I've noticed that he's even visited the Bills, and he's been rising pretty fast, and I wanted to get his take, because he said he didn't watch that much tape on him
as of yet. Two good questions, Kevin.
Yeah, no problem. Just looking at the tackle, Greg Robinson, you know, I'll put it this way. It's the easiest way to put it. I watched Greg Robinson, and then I watched Jake Matthews. And Jake Matthews is a really, really good football player. But after watching Greg Robinson, it was hard to get excited because Greg Robinson is massive. Greg Robinson is one of the more agile, athletic, and naturally powerful offensive linemen that I've ever evaluated. Jake Matthews, a little bit more undersized, doesn't have the length. More of a technician, needs to get it done with his footwork and technique. At the same time, he's got the bloodlines, he's got the intelligence. I think those two are right there. I don't think there's a huge gap between Lewan and Morgan Moses. The more I watch Morgan Moses, the more I feel comfortable about him being a left tackle. Now, is that necessarily a great fit for Buffalo? I don't know. I think they're looking more for a right tackle. Now, Morgan Moses struggled a little bit in 2012 when he was at right tackle his first three seasons. He appeared much more natural to left tackle. When you saw the growth from the second game of the season against Oregon, even to Virginia Tech at the left tackle, and when you watch that final game against Virginia Tech, extremely impressed with the way he progressed throughout the season, improved in terms of footwork, in terms of patience in his set, playing with more of an edge. I think he's got a chance to be a really, really good starting left tackle at the next level. Antonio Richardson, not as high as those other guys. I see more third round, to be honest with you. I don't think he bends particularly well. He's wide. He's got a big frame. But I really got concerns about the stiffness in his lower body and a bit of a waist bender and can really struggle with some speed and rushers that are able to counter from outside to inside. So, you know, let's hope that answers the question. Cody Latimer. This guy, let me tell you something, I have been extremely impressed. Me and Todd had a chance to watch five games of him last week. I mean, we were up till 2:30 in the morning because we wanted to watch a game of Lattimore. We were so excited. He is one of the better, I would say he's a very good route runner, has a natural feel for the position. I think he's got one of the best sets of hands in this class. Through five games, I did not see him drop a pass. I think he's tough. I think he's underrated after the catch. I think he's a possession-type receiver that at 6'2", 6'3", 215 pounds, reminds me a lot of Akeem Nix coming out of the New York Giants. I think he's in that, I think Lattimore's in that second round range right now. And there's a guy that certainly, from what I'm hearing from talking to people in the league and from what I'm seeing on tape, it's definitely a hot name that's on the rise right now.
Yeah, that's a big jump. I mean, a month or so ago, people probably put him in the fourth or fifth round area, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing, Judd. You know, 98 guys coming out this year, it's a lot to catch up on, you know, and fortunately for these teams and for us as well, you know, the draft is pushed back 2 weeks, you know, at this particular point because there's so many underclassmen. Teams are trying to catch up, and I think they're finally getting to the juniors' tape, and that's why it's late, and now you're starting to see that wave once these scouts really start watching their tape. And then the pro day that Lattimore had, he clocked in the high 4.4s. I think he vertical 39 inches at 6'3", 215 pounds. So, you know, that obviously helps and gets the hype machine going a little bit as well.
On the line with Kevin Weidel, who is a college football and NFL draft analyst for ESPN. He's with us for a couple of more minutes. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. 803-0550 is the number. I want to take you back to the offensive lineman for a second, Kevin, and ask you about the guy from Nevada, Joel Bitonio. What do you think of him? Third rounder or maybe even better than that?
I think he's a mid-second rounder. I think he's a starter. I do. I think he's a guy that can potentially be a starter. You know, it's 6'4", 302 pounds. He's got longer arms, almost 34-inch arms. So, you know, 6'4", you're a little bit concerned about that, but the longer arms, you know, kind of eases that concern a little bit. I think he's got ability to play right tackle. I do. I think you bring him in and you try him out at right tackle, similar to a Justin Pugh from last year of Syracuse. He's just a really tough, scrappy kid that knows how to maintain leverage. He's got a strong inline power base, and he's a guy that's feisty. He gave Anthony Barr all he could handle in the UCLA tape, and I think if he doesn't work out at right tackle, I think you got a really good starting and you bump him inside, and you got a really good starting guard for the next 10 years. So Petonio is a guy that I really was impressed with his tape when I had a chance to watch it finally last week.
Hey, Kevin, in an effort to, you know, let people know kind of what you're talking about, what do you mean when you say a strong inline power base? What do scouts mean when they say that?
Well, it just means, you know, in his rear end, Murph, you know, the size, the strength and the power to move defenders, to steer defenders at the point of attack off the ball and kind of open up those running lanes. So that's what I talk about. I know it's a little bit of scouts, and I'll try to generalize the term. That's some scout speak, but just in terms of, you know, his run blocking strength to move defenders off the ball and open up running lanes is what I would say about an inline power base.
No, I don't mind the scout jargon if you don't mind me stopping you and asking you about it, Kevin. Is that all right?
That's no problem at all.
You know, you reminded me when you said that there was the old college scouting director here, Dwight Adams, used to talk about offensive linemen having a power pack. I think that's what you're talking about, right?
Hey, Murph, it's your show, man. Good conductor over there.
Kevin Weidel is our guest from ESPN. He covers the NFL draft. A call from Peter in Glenwood. Hi, Peter. You're on the air.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
I have a question. With the pickup of Mike Williams earlier in the week for the Bills, does that point to them being more likely to be focusing on the line, or would they be more willing now to trade back and pick up extra picks, knowing that the tackle depth isn't as deep after the first two or three prospects?
That's an interesting question. I think the acquisition of Mike Williams kind of changed the way many of us were thinking about the Bills, Kevin, and maybe it changed the way the Bills are thinking about the draft, huh?
Yeah, I certainly think so. I still think a guy like Mike Evans out of Texas A&M could be in consideration at nine. Now you got some real weapons for E.J. Manuel to work with, Robert Woods and Mike Williams on the outside. I think Eric Ebron, you know, I'm not sure where they have him on their board, but I would imagine, you know, it would help out E.J. Manuel at nine. You know, I think he's the best pass-catching tight end. But, you know, I also think if you get a guy like Jake Matthews fall to you, I think you jump all over it. I just think it's going to come down to, you know, who's on the board. And knowing Doug Whaley, like I do, I think they're going to take the best player available. You know, they do a great job. They work hard and they do their homework. So, you know, they have their needs and they have their fits, but I also don't think if there's a need or a guy that fits a need and you're reaching a little bit, I think they're going to pass and take a better player available just to help themselves out.
Kevin, this is why you're a great guy to follow on Twitter, and if anybody's interested, you can go to @KevinW_ESPN, because you come up with these little gems. I read something you wrote recently about the search for bigger cornerbacks. It's a trend all over the NFL. Teams going into this draft are going to look for big physical corners now, aren't they?
Yeah, I think it's in vogue, Murph. I think with this day and age, the NFL is trending more of a passing league, and I think the wide receiver position is more transcendent than it's ever been. I mean, you're looking at guys like Calvin Johnson. You're looking at guys like Alshon Jeffrey, Brandon Marshall, Demaryius Thomas. I could go on and on. I mean, these guys are huge. They look more like a basketball roster than they do receivers. You know, so you better have the guys. You know, you can have those smaller guys that can stick with them, but when the ball's in the air, these guys are able to separate late and use their size to their advantage. And these smaller, you know, corners, I hear a lot of scouts call them Muppets, they just can't hold up. That's why I think they're looking for bigger corners. They're almost, you know, teams are looking to counter this. And, you know, some teams will sacrifice a little bit of fluidity and movement skills and a little bit in terms of top-end speed for those bigger corners. Because let me tell you something, guys like Richard Sherman, you know, he's not the most fluid, doesn't have the fluid motion and isn't the best cover corner, but what he does do is he goes to the line of scrimmage, he's big, he's physical, and when he gets his hands on you, he's got the ability to turn a 4-4 receiver into a 4-6 receiver real quick. So I think those are what the teams are looking to do, is get those bigger corners that can match up, particularly with the bigger guys. And look, it's not going to change. You got guys like Calvin Benjamin and Mike Evans coming in the league, Martavis Bryant. So, you know, you're still going to have these bigger physical receivers. You just got to have the longer corners, I think, to hold up on the island with these guys down the field.
That's a pretty interesting trend. A call here from Rob in Cheektowaga. Hi, Rob. Welcome. You're on the air.
How are you doing, guys? I got questions about two different players. The first is Taylor Lewan. How big of a red flag are these character questions that we're hearing about? That's one. And then the other question is, if there are no receivers or tackles, it seems like maybe receivers a little bit less on the board for the Bills. But say if the tackles are gone and they're not interested in Lewan, how would Anthony Barr fit in Schwartz's defense? Is he a possibility, or does he just not fit our system?
Okay, two good questions. Taylor Lewan, he was asked about the, I guess it was a fight, I guess, at Michigan. I don't know. Is that a serious matter? I guess it's not going to even be adjudicated until after the draft now. That's what I read the other day, Kevin.
Yeah, I think with an offensive line, it's a fight. They'll do their homework. But, I mean, he's an offensive lineman. You would hope he's a little aggressive, you know. Obviously, that's not the way to go off the field. But, you know, I think there's a lot worse things, put it that way, John, than getting in a fight in college. But, you know, they'll do their homework. To me, I think Taylor Lewan's a left tackle. You know, when you look at him, I just wonder if he's a fit as a right tackle. And knowing Buffalo, I think they're looking for a right tackle. And I don't know if he's a great fit because he's more of a technician, more of a finesse guy that's going to get in front, move his feet, and keep his hands inside in great position than he is a guy that's going to, you know, come off the ball and beat you with power and speed. So, that's a tough transition as well. So it'll be interesting to see. And then for Anthony Barr, I'm not as high as other people are on him. I know there's a lot of people that have him in the top 10 picks. I really have a struggle to pull the trigger on him in the first round. Just personally, I see a guy that's a little bit too finesse for me. When you're looking at guys in the front seven, especially edge defenders, I want guys that are playing with more aggression, a little more violence, if you will, on the edge. And then as a pass rusher, I see the speed off the edge, but I don't see a guy that transitions speed to power very well. I think he stalls out a lot against bigger tackles. And I don't see a guy that particularly bends well either in the torso. So to me, I think he's a little bit of a project, only 3 years playing defense, 2 years playing defense, excuse me. And to me, I feel a lot more comfortable about Anthony Barr on day two than I would say, spending a first-round pick, let alone a top-10 pick on him.
I got a question about a quarterback who, if I'm reading your tweets correctly, Kevin, it seems like you're kind of his stock is dropping. Teddy Bridgewater out of Louisville. You've come up with some questions about him that I read that you wrote about recently.
Yeah, I talked to some people in the league, and I got a chance to watch a couple more tapes 2 days ago. Remember, I watched the Memphis tape. I got into the Houston tape and the Kentucky tape, you know. And these are the competition he's playing as number one. But, you know, he can only play his schedule. You know, I got concerns about the frame, obviously, the longevity, the durability. He's got very narrow bone structure in terms of shoulders, ankles, hips, you know, wrists. So, you know, that always brings a concern, but I just don't see a guy that's got a very strong arm. I think it's very average. And just looking at his growth potential, projecting to the next level. Now, don't get me wrong. I think he's a very good quarterback. I think he's accurate. I think he's smart. I just wonder how much he's got room to grow. Is he maxed out? What's his feeling? I'd feel a lot more comfortable with a guy like Blake Bortles, who is 6'5", 230. He's got mobility. And I think he can really improve his arm strength and has a higher ceiling than I do Bridgewater. I think Bridgewater has a chance to be a very good starting quarterback at the next level, but I think good is where you max it out in the ceiling. Where I think a guy like Bortles, who's got it mentally and has got the presence and the everything else you want, and the upside in terms of the mobility and the strength and the size, I just feel a lot comfortable. I think that guy can be a really franchise quarterback, develop into a franchise quarterback for you. Now, do I think he's there right now? No. I think he needs development, but I just would go with the guy that's got the higher ceiling at this point, where I do think Bridgewater might be a little bit better at this point. I think Bortles has a higher ceiling projecting to the next level.
Could Bortles go number one overall to Houston, Kevin?
It's a possibility, you know. I'd have a problem if you feel comfortable. Phillip Bryant feels comfortable with a guy like Bortles. You know, I could see it, but I also would be really, really hard. It'd be really hard for me to pass up a guy like Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah.
I also think there's some guys in day two that, you know, Bill O'Brien might have his eye on, guys like Jimmy Garoppolo you could develop. Even Tom Savage is creating some noise. Tom Savage, the guy I think has the strongest arm in this class, can make some throws that none other in this class can make. Play behind a very poor offensive line. Hasn't had a ton of reps. I mean, you got to remember, before the season, didn't play for 2 years because he transferred from Rutgers, went to Arizona. They hired Rich Rod out there, and it wasn't a great fit in that zone read system, so he transferred to Pitt and had to sit another year. So, you know, he's a guy that's creating a lot of buzz right now just talking with coaches and scouts. So it'll be interesting to see. Hey, I think it comes down to Bortles. I think it comes down to Clowney with number one pick for the Texans. And to me, I at this point, I really lean towards Clowney. I think that's the way they're going
to
go.
Always comes back to the quarterbacks, doesn't it, Kevin? We'll have more time to talk about guys like Savage, and you mentioned Garoppolo, my favorite player going into this draft. I hope we can talk again before the draft. We'll talk to you again maybe in a week or so. Is that okay, Kevin?
Yeah, sounds good, Murph. Hey, if Casey gets out of line, you got my permission to...
All right. I will. Casey, your brother, working here in the Bills video department. Kevin Weidel, you can see his work on ESPNU 430s from now until the draft. He's a college football and NFL draft expert for ESPN.